Blake's Incorporated, your True Value Hardware Center, would like to sincerely thank the people of North County for their loyalty and continued patronage. Blake's has remained a favorite in general and industrial hardware and building materials because they care about the customer. They care enough to offer products from companies like the nation's preferred fastener manufacturer, Midwest Fastener. Midwest Fastener offers nuts and bolts in standard and metric sizes, chrome fasteners, deck screws, machine screws, and many specialty products. And don't forget, Blake's carries a full line of Easy Care interior and Weatherall exterior paints. Whether you're a pro or taking on a do-it-yourself home improvement project for the first time, Blake's is here to help with expert advice, tools, equipment, and the products you need to get the job done. Blake's Incorporated, your True Value Hardware Center, open 7 days a week at 17th and Riverside in Paso Robles. Blake's True Value Hardware Center.
Lars Larson on KPRL, brought to you by Boyd's Tobacco and Elegant Gifts. Enjoy a handmade cigar in the lounge, 625 Spring Street. Must be 21 years of age or older.
Real Red Meat Radio.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
I am asking you to be excited.
Honestly, provocative talk radio.
I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
Lars.
Never apologize for being patriotic.
Our beloved republic is in the hands of madmen.
No, here's your host.
Wait a minute, I'm talking now. If you don't mind, please.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Tuesday, and we got big stuff going on the East Coast of America, all the way from Maine to Texas. There is a major strike by 45,000 longshoremen that threatens to cripple the United States. And if you think, Lars, you're kind of exaggerating and say cripple them, no, that's actually what the union president has said, that he will cripple the United States if we don't give the longshoremen what they want. And all they want is a 77% raise over the next 6 years. So, I mean, it's not that big a deal, right? 77% and a promise not to automate anything at the ports that isn't already automated these days. Yeah, that's going on. Then you've got the attack on Israel. You've got Iran actually launching ballistic missiles. Apparently, they didn't think that responding through their proxies, the proxies being the terrorist group Hamas, the terrorist group, the Houthis, the terrorist group Hezbollah, that wasn't good enough. They launched 184 missiles at Israel. And I guarantee you the Israelis are going to have a response, and I have a feeling it's going to be more meaningful. So, many of those missiles were intercepted by the three different systems that Israel uses to protect itself. Iron Dome, of course, the most famous. Then you've got the Arrow system. You've got David Sling. You got all of those, and many of the missiles were intercepted. And at this point, no word of casualties on the ground, although there was a terrorist attack on the ground at one of the light rail stations in that country. 10 people dead and 20 people wounded. They certainly deserve our prayers for all of this to end well and for us not to be dragged into World War III. So you've got all that going on. And meantime, back here at home in the United States, you've got an election going on. And California now has a brand new law signed into effect 2 days ago by Governor Gavin Newsom that forbids demanding picture ID to be able to vote. So is it considered cheating if they actually make it a law saying you can't check those voters? You can't demand that somebody actually prove who he or she is the way you have to prove it if you check into a hotel, cash a check, board an airplane, 101 other things that require picture ID. But consider this. Politico reported this way. Local governments in California will be barred from establishing local laws that require residents to present identification to vote in elections under the new law signed by Gavin Newsom. The legislation that came from an Orange County Democrat is a direct response to a ballot measure approved this year by voters in Huntington Beach, California, that requires people to show photo ID at the polls. It takes effect on January 1. California, one of 14 states that does not require voter ID at the polls. Can you imagine an idea dumber than that one? To say, yes, you can vote. Oh, and by the way, we brought in millions of illegal aliens, and many of them are being automatically registered to vote because they get driver's licenses. What? Illegal aliens are getting driver's licenses? Yes, in many of the blue states in America, you can get official picture ID even if you are officially not in the United States legally. It is that crazy. In any case, I'm glad to take your calls as well. We don't call this the best conversation in talk radio for nothing. 866-HEY-LARS is the number. And if you're a naysayer, for more than 25 years, we've always put naysayers to the head of the line at 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. And a shout out to our friends in Indianola, Mississippi, where they listen to great talk radio every day on WTCD. That's FM 96.9 in Indianola. And you can find my show there as well. Our poll on X today has specifically to do with the attack on Israel by Iran. And by the way, that attack was funded by none other than Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is the guy who came in 3.5 years ago and he immediately said, all those sanctions that Donald Trump had on Iran against their oil sales, the sanctions that left the Iranians almost dead flat broke in January of 2021, the Biden administration simply wiped them out. That's right. They were down to just pennies. I mean, not pennies, literally, but they were down to almost nothing in their national treasury. Now they have tens of billions of dollars. And who do they have to thank for that? That would be Joe Biden. I mean, why do you think that you haven't been hearing the legacy media talk more about what the intelligence agencies told us several weeks ago? And that was that Iran has kill teams on American soil who are out there hunting, trying to assassinate Donald Trump. And why would they want Donald Trump not to be president and Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or whoever is going to follow those same policies? Because if Kamala Harris comes in after Joe Biden, she is going to continue the same policies with Iran. And I can say that even though she doesn't answer questions, because I can fairly well predict that whatever it is that Joe is doing right now, Kamala Harris will be doing the same. And if she wants us to believe otherwise, she should certainly get in front of a microphone or a camera or both and say so. So should the Biden-Harris regime start enforcing the Donald Trump sanctions against Iran's oil sales after today's attack? 184 ballistic missiles fired at Israel. And at least at this point, we're hearing no casualties on the ground. Today's poll on X can be found at Lars Larson Show and at LarsLarson.com, and always brought to you by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC has the conservative values I believe in. I joined a long, long time ago. You can join too. Just go to amac.us or call 888-262-2006. AMAC is better. Better for you and better for America. Let's go to Richard. Hey, Richard, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars. I hope everyone's doing well over there. I got a bit of a preamble before my question.
If you burn all your daylight, you're going to run out. You're going to say, I didn't get to make my point. So why don't we start? What's the point you want to make?
Okay. So the point that I wanted to make was that I heard that Obama removed a law that prevented the federal government, or at least the executive branch, from lying to the public, from being part of a conspiracy. Have you heard anything like that?
Nope. Never heard any such thing, and I don't think it'd even be possible. I don't know of a law that says the government... Now, we expect that the government shouldn't lie to us, but I've never heard of a law that said they can't lie to us or that they don't lie to us. I think that one would get laughed out of Congress tomorrow. What's the point you want to make? If you're thinking about a law that you're not even sure exists, that may be a soft place to start.
Yeah, it is a soft place to start. I mean, I heard it during a documentary, and I thought that there was some substance to it. That's why I figured I'd ask.
Anybody can make a documentary. Was there any other point you wanted to make?
No, I just wanted to.
Okay, I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Lars. Hey, I was wondering, considering where the illegals came from, I wonder if they wouldn't tend to vote more conservative.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah,
because
I know the government. Yeah, excuse me.
No, just follow the money. If you say, who let me into this country? That would be Democrats. Who gave me a debit card when I walked in illegally? That would be Democrats. Who gave me an airplane ticket or a bus ticket? Who gave me a free hotel room? Who gave me food and basically said, we're not going to enforce the law against you? Well, that would all be Democrats. Who wants to stop that? That would be, first of all, President Donald Trump, and secondly, conservative Republicans, if there are any left in this country, I think the illegals know exactly who to vote for if they're voting their own interests. If you're voting America's interests, you're going to vote for Trump. Back in just a moment. It's a pleasure to be with you, and you're listening to the Lawrence Larson Show.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has announced it plans to go IPO soon. For a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax, and they come with a 7% dividend. Get the details about Newsmax's planned IPO and shares. Just go to NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Get Newsmax shares. You can even buy shares with a credit card at NewsmaxInvest.com. Whenever making an investment decision, you should consult your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and for all tax and other risks and obligations. Don't miss out. Find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com today.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
I am Central Coast attorney Dave Derringer, and I believe in faith, family, and freedom. Without faith and family, there is no freedom. So the mission of my law firm, Protective Law Corporation in Morro Bay, is to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to descendants. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all trusts are not created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain alienable rights, that among these are powers to defer, avoid, or shift taxation, to shelter assets from creditors, that to secure these rights, trusts are created by me. If you are serious about asset protection and family protection, call me, Dave Derringer of Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay. Dial 805-225-5105 or just click on my phone number at lawnews.tv. Again, lawnews.tv, LAWNEWS.TV.
Greetings, KPRL listeners. I'm Susanna Luthi, political reporter and California news correspondent, inviting you to listen to my show, Free Talk California, where we discuss the day's hottest stories and all the things our political power players don't want you to know, featuring guests from Sacramento, Washington, D.C., and you. Join me Mondays at 1 here on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM.
AM 1230. Yeah.
Senator John Kennedy gets it.
Mr. President, you just got to try harder not to suck.
Well said, Mr. Kennedy. We agree. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Tuesday. And when I heard very early this morning that the ballistic missile attacks had begun on Israel, launched by Iran, the biggest sponsor of terrorism on planet Earth, I knew the guy we had to talk to is Frank Gaffney, founder of the Center for Security Policy, author of the number one best-selling book on Amazon in his category called The Indictment, about the Communist Chinese Party, or the prosecuting the Chinese Communist Party and Friends for crimes against America, China, and the world. Our attention has shifted to the Middle East now, Frank. What should America do, if anything, about the fact that Iran has launched this attack on our ally Israel, and we could end up with a Middle East war that could drag in a lot of other players, including us and including allies of Iran?
Look, my best counsel at this point would be do what it has done in the past with middling effect. Help defend Israel, and otherwise stay the hell out of the way. I think Israel is doing an extraordinary job of taking the fight to its enemies. And all the United States has been doing, aside, and this is an important aside, from providing some resupply of munitions, has been to sort of get in the way and to try to protect, well, Israel to some extent, yes, but also Hamas and Hezbollah and most especially Iran. So I would very much hope that in this instance with the fight now between Iran directly and the Israelis, let them finish the job.
I like that idea, but let me ask you one other piece. Who paid for it? My read on this, and having had a lot of conversation with you and others, Joe Biden gave the Iranians this money. He said, we are not going to enforce the sanctions on you selling oil. The Iranians began selling a lot of oil after Donald Trump left and Joe Biden came in, and they now have tens of billions of dollars from those oil sales, and they've apparently decided to spend it on the thing they've been spending it on for, you know, 4 or 5 decades, and that is terrorism in various forms. So if we gave them the money, is it time for Joe Biden to communicate in whatever way the mullahs communicate? I don't think they answer their pagers or cell phones or to walkie-talkies anymore out of fear of being blown up. But should we tell them, knock it off, we are going to tighten down the sanctions again? Would there be anything wrong with adding that to let Israel settle its own hash?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it went without saying that we ought to stop propping up the Iranian regime. Of course. Lars, you're right, up to a point. A lot of money has flowed to the Iranians because we stopped enforcing the sanctions. But we also just gave them $10 billion here or there. With funding from, other people's bank accounts. But the main thing is, we have to make it clear that we stand with Israel and against this jihadist, Sharia supremacist, murderous regime in Tehran. And if anything, what we should be trying to do is help the people of Iran liberate themselves from that regime. They're even more anxious to do that than is this administration, for sure. But these guys are our enemies as well as Israel's. It is
right.
Nothing of the people of Iran.
Which is why it seems so crazy that reporters aren't demand. I know Joe Biden isn't, really there anymore, but, mentally. I mean, yesterday, somebody asked him about the strikes in Syria, and he said, we've talked to both sides, and we're going to settle that strike. And, he clearly had no idea what was going on.
He was thinking of the other strike.
Yeah, the other kind of strike. But in this case, I figured that you were saying we stopped propping up Iran. But the other reason is, you and I always talk about this, my biggest problem with Ukraine is, where's the American national interest in dealing with what's going on in Ukraine? And I can't exactly find one. So I haven't been in favor of this from the get-go. But here, if you've got the mad mullahs who, as you and I have talked about a weekly basis, say, death to Israel and death to America. And you say, well, if they're trying to kill Israel right now, Do you suppose that if they get the tools to do it, that they aren't going to hesitate to do it to us as well? There's our national interest, isn't it?
Very much so. You know, as you and I discussed on countless occasions, when they say death to Israel, death to America, that's probably about as much, you know, national interest as you ought to need to say we're not on their side. And yet this administration, I mean, it is almost beyond imagining what it has done to encourage the Iranians to behave aggressively, and not just towards Israel, but, you know, towards our interests more generally. This is one of the most egregious examples I can think of professional malfeasance by a U.S. government in modern times. I mean, it's just beyond belief that we're witnessing them continuing, it appears, to try to, you know, encourage Israel to exercise restraint and not take the fight to these guys. Yes, there is a risk. There's no question about it. There is a risk. That risk is there now, and it only gets worse if the Iranians come away from this, to say nothing of Hezbollah or Hamas, with some measure of victory. There will be no end to this, for sure.
Well, in fact, Frank, tonight's a vice presidential debate, and I don't expect that the moderators, if they're anything like the last couple of moderators, they're probably not going to ask this question. But I'd love J.D. Vance to turn, after he's answered some other question, because I think he can do it well, turn to Tim Walz and say, hey, Kamala Harris, is she going to be different than Joe, or is she going to keep allowing the Iranians to sell oil and sponsor terrorism? And should the American people know whether your ticket, you and Kamala Harris, are the pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah, pro-Houthi, pro-Iran, pro the death to America crowd, or the one that's against that? And I don't imagine that Tim Walz is going to give a satisfactory answer, but at least pose the question, even if the moderators don't.
I don't know whether, you know, the ground rules will apply in this debate to, you know, allowing him to ask a question. It's a good idea. And look, it's just one of the things that I hope will get on the table. Another is China. You started with that, but it's China is enabling the Iranians to attack Israel.
Yep.
China is behind the strategic arson that is taking place elsewhere around the world, including in Ukraine, for that matter. And we need to know whether Tim Walz, who has a record, we just did a fantastically interesting webinar that will be posted at presentdangerchina.org tomorrow morning, I would reckon. Fantastically interesting treatment of the extent to which Tim Walz and, for that matter, Kamala Harris are deeply compromised by the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, he seems to have a deep, abiding love affair with the Communist Chinese. He loves that country. He's been there dozens of times. He got married there, not to a Chinese national, to an American. He took his honeymoon there. He sent hundreds of American school kids there. I mean, I don't even, I just find his fascination with Communist China bizarre.
Well, it's ideological, I'm afraid. It's not just a romantic thing. I think it's actually a ideological affiliation. And that's what's so frightening, because we've had a guy in Joe Biden who's been deeply compromised by these
characters. Well, they bought him.
They bought him
out.
They
bought and paid for him.
This guy, it appears that they probably put some money in his pocket over the years for getting all those kids over there running influence operations and so on. But the main thing is he's all in, it appears, ideologically. And the American people have a need to know, because this is a communist takeover.
Ditto. I'll tell you what, Frank, even if the format doesn't allow for questions, I said this about Trump, too. J.D. Vance should just say, thanks for your question, I'll answer it, and then take the last 30 seconds and turn to Tim Walz and say, what is this weird love affair you've got with the communists in China, and how is that good for America? If they won't ask it, the moderators, I'm going to ask you. You tell the American people, why do you love China so much, and do you plan to do the same thing to America? Frank Gaffney.
The Lars Larson Show.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. The best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. Rising tensions in the Middle East after Iran fired off nearly 200 missiles at Israel today. Tehran says it's revenge for killing off leaders of Hezbollah in Lebanon, while Israel's ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon, warns,
"We will act. Iran will soon feel the consequences of their actions."
Most of those missiles were taken out by Israel's air defenses. U.S. Navy forces in the region also shot down several of them. President Biden telling reporters,
"At my direction, the United States military actively supported the defense of Israel, and we're still assessing the impact. But based on what we know now, the attack appears to have been defeated and ineffective."
The UN Security Council holds an emergency meeting Wednesday about the escalating violence in the region. America's listening to Fox News.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Barry from Cambria says, quote, "Bill's presentation was great. He displayed an admirable depth of technical understanding of the system he was presenting. It was a pleasant experience. Thank you, Barry, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing 47 years of admirable displays of technical understanding. Don't just go solar, go solar."
The Paso Robles City Council.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Thank you for this amazing opportunity to be able to pray with you guys here. I want to open with a scripture. "Every person must submit to and support the authorities over him, for there can be no authority in the universe except by God's appointment," which means that every authority that exists has been instituted by God. Heavenly Father, right now, I just want to thank you for this evening. I pray for the council, God. I pray for wisdom and knowledge to fall down upon them on every single decision that needs to be made. I pray for our troops right now, Lord, as they're here, present, and out there in the field, God, that you be with them and their families, Lord. I lift up every single law enforcement officer. I pray right now that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Lord. I lift up our fire department right now, God, that your word says that though they may go through the fires, God, they will not be burnt, Lord. So I pray for them right now, Lord. I pray for our chief of police. Give him wisdom and knowledge to be able to guide the deputies that are underneath him right now, Lord. I pray right now, God, for the business owners, God, that make this community come together, Lord. I pray that you help them prosper, God, that you be with them, their families, Lord, and let their business begin to just thrive here within the city, Lord. I thank you right now, God, for our schools. I lift up every single one of our teachers, the school staff, the students, God. Let there be healthy environments of education that take place, God, here within the city of Paso Robles, Lord. And I lift up the community, God, of Paso Robles right now, God. We thank you for such an amazing, beautiful community that we belong to. So I pray your blessings, God, upon the entire city of Paso Robles and every single person that calls this place home, God. I pray your hand be upon them right now, Lord. Continue to guide and strengthen, God, the community that we belong to, Lord. And to you, God, we give the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Torres. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll call, please?
Councilmember Bausch?
Here.
Councilmember Gregory?
Here.
Councilmember Roden?
Here.
Councilmember Strong?
Here.
Mayor Hammond?
Here. We'll also begin then with staff introductions on my right.
Melissa Boyer, City Clerk, joined by Shauna Howenstein, Civic Engagement Coordinator, and Karen Jackson, IT Technician.
Warren Frace, Community Development Director.
Rita Sesperanza, Capital Projects Engineer.
Eric Lashley, City Librarian.
Brian Cornell, Administrative Services Director.
David Lepara, Works Operations.
Chris Hewat, Assistant City Manager.
Elizabeth Hull, City Attorney.
Very good. Thank you. We'll move on then with a report out of closed session. The City Attorney Elizabeth Hull, can you give us what we talked about there?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We went into closed session on a number of items. The first was conference with legal counsel, exposure to litigation, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2. There were two potential cases of litigation. There's no reportable action. We went into conference under, conference with legal counsel, initiation of litigation, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D4, one case, and there's no reportable action. And then finally, under conference with legal counsel regarding real property negotiations, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8, regarding a portion of 611 Spring Street, and there is no reportable action.
Okay, very good. Moving on for presentations, if I could have Juan Ramirez, board member for Lumina Alliance, come up and then we'll do a presentation.
Today we have a Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month, October 2024. Whereas Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month calls attention to the fact that intimate partner violence is widespread and impacts every person in past roles, and whereas Lumina Alliance provides essential life-saving services for survivors, their children, and families throughout the San Luis Obispo County, including past roles, and whereas domestic violence is a pattern of control in an intimate relationship where one person uses coercion and violence to gain power and control over his or her partner, and whereas domestic violence can result in physical injury, psychological trauma, and even death. The devastating consequences of domestic violence can cross generations and can last a lifetime. And whereas there is a need to focus on individualized needs on domestic violence and survivors, the marginalization of certain groups in society, including undocumented individuals, transgender individuals, and those giving with disabilities, increases their vulnerability to intimate partner violence. And whereas Lumina Alliance continues to provide a safe environment for those affected by domestic violence with a 24-hour hotline crisis line, advocacy, therapy, transitional and emergency housing, and prevention education with the help of dedicated volunteers and professionals. And whereas Lumina Alliance has received over 2,000 calls in the crisis and information line, provided more than 6,000 collective nights for shelter clients, and provided more than 4,800 hours of therapy. And whereas Lumina Alliance serves as a bright light during dark times for a survivor of intimate partner violence, illuminating the path forward towards safety and healing. And whereas the City of Paso Robles supports the efforts of Lumina Alliance, how every segment of society can work together to better address intimate partner violence and to help survivors connect with services. And therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of authority vested in me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire City Council, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2024 as National Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And Juan, would you like to make a statement?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Hammond, and the City Council members for this proclamation. My name is Juan Ramirez. I'm a board member for Lumina Alliance. Lumina Alliance mission is to empower those impacted by sexual and intimate partner violence through the healing and prevention programs. For over 40 years, we continue to serve as a bright light during the dark times for those in need. We offer, like Mayor mentioned, 24-hour crisis and information line, self-sufficient services, legal referrals, emergency shelters, transitional housing, individual and group therapy, and robust prevention program. We're so grateful for this proclamation and your ongoing support. On behalf of Lumina Alliance Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers, we thank you all for you taking action this month to create a safe, thriving, and adequate community. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much for coming. And now, if I could get our Assistant City Manager Chris Hewitt to come up and help me, we have all the recognition that we need to go over with regard to our Resident Academy graduation. First ever, actually. So I think, can we go ahead and pull everybody up? If we can have everybody attending here, that'd be Jeff Carr, Misha Demos, Linda George, Ed Hughes, Tim McCoy, Becky Moore, David Nelson, Glenn O'Hagan, Cynthia Ransom, Michael Rivera, Molly Sheehan, and Angel York. Angel? So basically what this is, and it's something new, it's an appreciation for all the folks who wanted to learn more about what we do here at the city level. It's first ever. I got to commend our individual who ran this, Shauna Hollenstein. I don't think she's here today. And it was a great effort to get this started, and I hope we continue this kind of effort. It really, I think, maybe Angel can say a little more about what they learned and how it really is going to help you folks understand the city workings. So again, would we like to go ahead and present those first, and then we can talk?
Sure.
Jeff Carr?
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
We have Michon Demos.
Thank you, sir.
Linda George. There you go, Linda. And Ed Hughes. Ed.
Yeah.
Tim McCoy. He's not here tonight. We'll have him back. Becky Moore. She's not here tonight either. David Nelson is not here, as I see. Glenn O'Hagan? No. I'm getting zero here. Cynthia Ransom? It's okay. Michael Rivera, I think you're here.
I think I'm here, Mayor.
There you go.
Thanks, thank you.
Molly Sheehan? Oh, yeah.
What's your name?
Good for coming. And Angel York.
There's me.
And so we have also the city pin that is really cool to have on your lapel. Very delicate. I really think it's a cool thing, especially when you're representing the city.
Oh, that's awesome. Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Angel, would you like to say something for the group?
Absolutely. This is such a fun event. I mean, I've been a resident here for almost 40 years, and I had no idea the depth that this city, you know, that goes into the workings of this city. And it was so wonderful to meet all the staff of the different departments, learn a little bit about them, and just see the enthusiasm that they have for their jobs and what they do. It was so enlightening, and I think that this is a great benefit to this community for people so they can really get to understand how many layers there are, how many levels, and how much commitment and dedication it takes. So this was a wonderful experience, and I so enjoyed meeting everybody in the class. We had so much fun.
So it was like a how many weeks was it altogether?
Seven
total weeks, and you met once a week, pretty much for an hour or two?
Mm-hmm. 2 hours.
2 hours. All right.
Yeah. 7 weeks, Wednesday nights from 6 to 8. We had lovely dinners every night. That was so wonderful. And then we got on buses and we went and toured projects and we got the lowdown on what, you know, what's in the works, what's been done, what's upcoming. We got to see some secret stuff. I'm sworn to secrecy, but like I said, it was so great meeting everybody. I mean, everybody was so passionate about their jobs and just to getting to know their backgrounds. And we have some talented people in this city. I mean, I was blown away.
Good. And Chris, would you like to say a little more about maybe in the future?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the council first and foremost. They set this goal for us to put on this Resident Academy. So this was our first one, and so we did, I think, the best that we knew how to do. We're looking forward to getting some feedback from this group on how we can improve that in the future. If you're interested in participating in the Resident Academy, We have an interest form on the city's website. If you want to email info@prcity.com, we can get you hooked up there. And then we're looking for our next cohort to probably start in spring of 2025 is our goal. So we'll probably limit it to about 15 folks. Keep it small. Keep it manageable for getting on those buses and getting all those cool tours done. But really want to thank this cohort for being our guinea pigs. Appreciate you all and your participation and leaning in with staff. And again, thanks to the mayor and the council for your willingness to take this on and give this to us as a challenge. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
He's a good spokesperson. Chris, did you have the chance to tell them about how many volunteer hours they owe us every month?
That was after graduation, yeah.
There's always a catch. Okay, next on the calendar we have Capital Projects Report, Ditas Esperanza, David Licaro, and Rita Berman. Ditas.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. It's our monthly report from Public Works Department. I'll start it off and then I'll pass it on to David and Frida. So the first part of the presentation, the PowerPoint, is to give you an update of the projects under construction. First and foremost in everyone's view is the Creston Road project. It's been very challenging. As I've reported to you in previous reports, we are putting in a 20-foot deep sewer, which is challenging enough as it is. And with that depth requires us to have those shoring plates that we need to put in the trench. That's to protect the workers down there. Believe it or not, there are human beings down there 20 feet deep, and so we want to protect them, preserve their lives, and so to do that we put those very strong shoring plates to keep the soil back so that the soil does not engulf them and get buried. But in addition, we've met some other unknowns that nobody in the community knows, which I like to talk about, that made it more challenging. As you know, Creston Road is an old street. It's probably one of the first streets that were installed here in the city. We encountered many utilities that were underground. Many of them were supposed to be shown on a special location, as shown on the atlases. And so we relied on that when we did the sewer design and stayed away from them. But as the contractor excavated, lo and behold, those utilities that we thought were on one side of the street is now on the other side of the street and right where we're supposed to put the sewer line. And so as you can imagine, we need to pause because we need to make sure that, first of all, those existing utilities are not going to be live gas mains or live electrical or water that would, if we accidentally punch it, it would just blow all over the place. So we have to be very careful, call the various utilities, and they're not exactly fast in coming to respond, so we have to wait. And so consequently, it's been very, very challenging, and I really appreciate everyone's patience as they tried to maneuver through that two-way flagging that had to wait until the one lane goes through, and then they had to go through. But I'm pleased to announce that as of today, we finally finished this part of the project, and believe it or not, last week we were about 20 feet away from putting in the last bit of pipe when we discovered a gas line that was not what it's supposed to be, so we had to pause, and then we carefully protected it, and so we were able to finish it. We had hoped to finish last Friday, but that put us 2 days behind, but today we finally finished it all, and not only that, we did a mandrel test, which is the test to make sure that you put this equipment through the pipe to ensure that they're perfectly round. So we did a mandrel test, and then we did a video, and lo and behold, they pass. So I'm pleased to announce that's done. I think this afternoon, the two-way flagging flag control has been removed and you can now go through. It's still very precarious going through there, so I would caution you to just be careful. I wish I could say that that's it, that there's no more hard things up ahead, but we still have storm drain to install, we still have some water lines to install, and until you finish the undergrounds, it's really not done. Because you can imagine, we're not Superman, we can't see what's underneath, we won't know until we excavate, and we hope that somehow those existing utilities will stay away and we can continue to put the water line where we designed it, sewer and storm drain. So in the next few weeks, at least, there will not be a two-way flagging control. And in fact, the traffic signal that is proposed will begin. As you know, there's a traffic signal that is proposed at Bolin and Walnut. And so there will be, so the subcontractor that will install this traffic signal will be mobilizing. And then that's the next phase of the project. And then once all the undergrounds is complete, then and only then we'll be able to do the road surface, which is really what everyone is looking forward to. So we're about a year into since we started in August, but it's probably another 9 months or so, another year to finish the project. But thank you for your patience. So this is what it will look like at the end with the enhanced pedestrian crossing at Trigo, Ivy, and Orchard. And we also have a grant-funded, almost $3 million grant project to install fiber throughout the city, mostly in the downtown area, as you can see here. And some of the work, photos of the work in progress. I just want to remind everybody that the water service, the repairs for the gas lines in the Sierra Bonita is still ongoing. They're still making a mess of the streets, and so until they're done, we will hold off on repairing those streets until all their work has been completed. Once they're done, then we'll go back and repair the road surface as we had intended a few months ago. Another project that is in construction is what we refer to as the Crestline Fairview water lines. It just started a few weeks ago, so I don't have photos yet of construction. But again, this one is water line upgrades. And once all the water lines are completed, then we will go back and resurface the entire streets in that neighborhood. We're also doing the repairs of the roof at the Public Safety Center, and these are photos of the work in progress. That photo on the left, you can see all the people working on the rooftop. And finally, we still have projects that's coming up in the next few weeks. The first one is the Sherwood Acres water system upgrade. Those, again, it's similar like Crestline Fairview. We have to upgrade all the old water mains. And then once that's done, then we will do the road repairs for the entire roads in that neighborhood. The other project that's coming up is the road repair of Golden Hill from Creston to Rolling Hills. The first task is to install fiber for future conduit along that arterial road. That is a top priority for the council. They told us that when we do road work in arterials, put in the fiber conduit so we don't have to dig it up in the future when there's a time for us to continue with our fiber network projects. The other project that is coming along is to install a shade structure between the Veterans and Senior Center. It will look like this. And we just had our pre-construction meeting today, and the contractor will be mobilizing next week, so you'll start seeing some action over there. I just want to remind everyone that once we pour the slab, we do need to wait for 28 days to cure the concrete before we install the shade structure. So you'll see action there We'll put the concrete, and then we'll pause and wait for the concrete to cure, and then we'll come back and put the shade structure. That concludes my part of the presentation. If you have any other questions, I will pass it off to David LaCaro.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yes, Didas, can you describe the material that's being put on the roof on the safety center? Do you know what it is?
I'll have Kevin give you that update.
Okay, great. I was going to have him bring a piece, but
good evening, Council. Kevin Wiles, Assistant Capital Projects Manager. The product that's on top is the polyurethane tile. So it's just plastic.
So the roof is all plastic?
Yeah, predominantly. The barrel roof system right there, which you see, is a thicker membrane. It's wow. PVC membrane.
Very heavy. It's solar hide is what it says, so it must be pretty thick roofing type of material.
Yeah.
Amazing. I thought that was amazing for a roof. Thank you.
You said it was PVC. It doesn't break down in the sunlight as well?
The membrane part is a PVC 80 millimeter PVC membrane.
Oh, the membrane, not the shingles.
No, the shingles are polyurethane.
I gotcha. Didas, on the Fairview Crest line, is that just water line or is it water and sewer?
It's just water line.
What about the sewer?
The sewer main is fine, and there's nothing wrong with the sewer main. It's just the water line that's needs to be upgraded, mostly because they're old, and secondly, they're only 4 inches, and we needed to upgrade them so we can meet fire flow demands.
And the sewer's been in there for 60 years, something like that?
Yeah, they last quite a bit.
But it was fine. It's not the old clay?
Clayburg, fiber, or
Orangeburg.
No, it's not orange. It's VCP.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Continue on that line. What about Top of Sunset with those trees that really tore up the street? Are we going to be getting into that when we finally get to the road part?
Right. When we move to the next phase, which is the road repair, part of the bid probably will be to address roots prior to paving.
Very good. Any other? I was just going to make a comment. I mean, it's amazing how you engineers get things done and still have traffic going through all your work. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's even they do bridges, but, you know, we're doing quite a lot on Crescent Road, too, Didas, and you guys are just fantastic and still keeping the traffic going through. So appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks.
David or Carl?
Yes, good evening, Mayor, members of the Council, David LaCaro, Public Works Operations Manager. I'm just going to give you a brief update. We're actually at the close of the Centennial Creek Rehabilitation Project. Just as a quick little background, the city alongside Caltrans and the Local Resources Conservation District have been working on this project for quite some time. This is actually a mitigation project for some of the violations that Caltrans ran into a while back, but they found a donation site and we lucked out to have this opportunity to rehabilitate a creek that has been severely undermined over decades of pretty big storms. So this has just been a great opportunity for us. Unfortunately, it's taken us almost a decade to get some of these repairs done. So if you remember, late 2022, the phase one was actually done, and that was from Nickerson to Navajo.